good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and it's good to be here today. My co-host is Dave Allen, and we're going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Melody, and happy autumn and happy cream day.
Woohoo! Hey, why would they pick ice cream day on the first day of autumn? It should be the first day of summer.
Maybe it's just
been a liberal.
It's a nostalgia kind of thing. We, looking to hold on to what's nice about this time of year. But you know what? It's also National Business Women Day. So we salute women in business, especially women business owners like you, Melody. So thanks and hats off to you and all women who make their homes and communities and businesses, the nation and the world go round and round.
Oh, well. Well, thank you very much. What a very nice thing to say.
There you go.
Yes. And I would prefer to be at home. I love my job. This is the best job I just get to talk to so many interesting people. And I get to hear so many stories. And so many I've known for so long. And customers turn into friends. And it's really a nice job. And so I do want to thank everyone and those who haven't purchased from Discount Gold and Silver that perhaps just listen to the program. You too. You become like family after so many years. And so I appreciate and I thank each and every one of you. And hopefully maybe someday we can talk, even though you don't buy. Maybe we can talk. Let's go and talk about business. And today, gold prices today, it was higher earlier in the day, and they broke it. It's still kind of holding its own at $1,673, down $1.50. Silver was up 5 cents today at $19.71. Platinum was down $7 at $911. Palladium was up 12, $2,252. The USDX today was trading a little bit lower, and it is just incredible. 111. Can you believe that? 111. There's predictions out there that it'll go to 113, and then it'll crash. So we'll see, but I like what gold did today with the USDX being at 111. That really is amazing. Crude oil today was up 57 cents at 83.51. Stock markets are lower. Major averages on pace for weekly declines. As you know, everyone is looking for that recession fear is creeping in. So, what idiots. I'm sorry, Dave, but, fears are mounting. Well, they better mount. And if you have any, what does Rick say? An IQ larger than a shoe size, a recession is probably pretty definite. But the Dow was down 107 points at 30,076. S&P was down 31, 3,757. The NASDAQ was down 153, almost 1.5% at 11,066. Asian markets were negative. Europe was negative. Nobody likes anything out there. Europe was down all over. The DAX and France were almost 2%. The FTSE was just a little over 1%. What did Asia do? Hang Seng was the only one that was down a little over 1.5%. The other ones weren't too bad, but they were still negative. 10-year yield, nothing's popped. 3.70 on its way to 4. And I couldn't remember where the 10-year yield was, Dave, when President Trump was urging Powell to start dropping those rates because market was falling apart and everything else. And I think it was at 2.5%. I think he had raised them to like 2.5. Now look where we're at. Look at the 10-year yield now is 3.70, marching on to 4. So I can only imagine the pain that is being placed upon those corporations and all their debt, trying to service it along with our government. But 10-year, let's see, the natural gas, 7.199. That was negative, but both the oil, as I mentioned, and Brent crude were positive on the day. So, you know, and I don't know, I'm sure, I think gold had a little bit of reaction also. Maybe that's what's keeping it, you know, not reacting too much to that 111 dollar price is Russia, you know, and their threat to, for the nuclear threats. And it kind of cracks me up. I'm sorry, Dave, but it does kind of crack me up. You know, you have Blinken, you know, called on every UN Security Council member to send a clear message to Russia that it must. Such strong words. It must stop its nuclear threats. I mean, come on. That's the best you can do, you know, to a threat to where, you know, someone is saying that, you know, they'll use whatever they have to use. And again, Dave, who is really trying to do anything other than to have Russia being pushed into using their nuclear weapons? I mean, is there any type of communications going on with anyone? You know, and I saw someone say today that, you know, this war is going to go on forever. It's already been going on for 8 years, which is true. So what were you going to say, Dave?
Well, no, I even though there's, we're trying to isolate Russia and have largely done so, not totally, I suspect that behind the scenes you've got U.S. generals talking to some of their counterparts in both China and Russia, you know, just to keep those fingers off of buttons we don't want anyone toying with, just to keep the world out of the ultimate trouble. So that, I mean, that's certainly a hope. I mean, who among us knows? You know, we're certainly not gonna get any insights in that respect for political reasons, but you know, anyway, I go to sleep at night thinking, well, I got to believe this is happening. So, but well, it sure is pretty doggone tense out there. I mean, we've got, you know, the doomsday clock of the bulletin of the atomic scientists. Let's say it's 100 seconds to midnight. So it just ticks very, very slowly toward that bewitching hour.
Yeah, it really does. And but it's just, I don't know. It's, you know, you really don't know what to believe anymore. And, you know, I personally don't think that he had strong words sending to the UN. Not when you know, but you know, who's going to, but you know, you don't know. And it's, you know, they try to do all these sanctions and stuff. And how bad is it really hurting? You know, I mean, you could argue both points, that it is and it isn't. And he's still got a lot of control. He's still got China. He's still got India. He's still got Iran. He's still got a lot of, it isn't like it once was. And, you know, the U.S. is doing probably more than what Europe is doing, and Europe is the one that should be doing more than the U.S. So it's just, I don't know. And that's the concerns. That's why it's kind of frightening to not really know, you know, what it will be like even a year from today. So, so would you like to finish up that? I didn't mean to take that over, but
not at all.
Hey, it is Businesswoman's Day, so I guess
absolutely. I'm in deference mode. Yes. Today.
Okay, all right.
Program. Not that I'm not usually anyway.
But, now Dave.
Anyway.
Okay, so, you know, yesterday. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
Yesterday, we know that rates have risen. And comments about that there's going to be some meaningful economic pain that is necessary to try to bring inflation down. And they're going to do it. And it's in contrast to just, you know, 3 months ago when, you know, everyone was, or the policymakers were clinging to a more optimistic story about inflation. Oh, wasn't this just supposed to be temporary, Dave?
Transitory in Fed speak, Melody.
Yes. And
just a passing phase.
It was just a passing. That was, what, a year ago, year and a half ago?
Yeah.
But now they're forecasting a meaningful rise in unemployment over the next year as it pushes the interest rates to, you know, these are the highest levels since 2007, folks. Can you remember what was going on back in 2007?
Yeah, I've tried to blot that period of the economy out of my mind.
So, you know, and we are in a much better condition now than we were back then. I don't think so. So that implies that it will not only tolerate a recession or near recession, but sees it as evidence of success. Jerome Powell said in his news conference, "I wish there were a painless way to get inflation behind us." He says there isn't. What, but they don't even address the problem, but there could have been. What matters most for both the economic and political outlook is who is going to feel that pain. Well, it's you, ladies and gentlemen. That's who. And he also mentions how. Already someone on the left are assailing the Fed for throwing workers under the bus in its inflation-fighting campaign. If the Fed's own new projections prove accurate, meaning a 4.4% headline unemployment rate next year, up from the 3.5 in July, that implies another 1.5 million Americans unemployed. And I'll tell you what, that 4.4% headline, that's low. That's low.
Yeah, indeed. I mean,
they're lying. They're flat out lying.
I mean, look for double. Yes. That.
Or more.
Or,
in
know,
the
well,
real world, in the real world, it'll be more.
Well, I mean, hypothetically, unemployment could rise that much due to just a soft patch in the economy. But in practice, historic examples of that kind of scenario playing out are rare. Unemployment only rises that much in recessions. And there's no doubt that in this scenario, moderately higher unemployment is in fact a goal of the Fed, with all the moral and political consequences that go along with it. But some are saying it goes too far to say workers bear the entire brunt of the war on inflation. I agree, but that's just part of it. Tighter money from the Fed has its first order effects through financial markets. We can see that in the S&P's 21% correction so far this year. Indeed, if you believe, as many people do, that the era of zero interest rates and quantitative easing made the rich richer, the poor poorer, increasing inequality, then the era of rate hikes and quantitative tightening ought to have the reverse effect, right? Don't count on it. I mean, there are many channels that the Fed's tightening could take that could help bring down demand and inflation without people losing, or so many people losing their jobs, theoretically anyway. Well, take one. I mean, there's an affluent investor decides he can't afford a vacation home because of stock market losses. Okay, there you go. Or a business accepts lower profit margins because it believes it can't raise prices, pass them on in a slump like this. But in reality, just because those channels don't exist doesn't mean job losses won't be the most noticeable in how people experience this economy. I mean, the bottom line, the 1.5 million people who may, and I hate to say this, probably will lose their jobs if the Fed continues on this path, it just means, you know, that's going to be a much bigger deal than perhaps the millions of people or more who experience a moderately lower balance in their investment portfolio at the same time, Melody.
Well, that sad thing is I doubt if it's going to be a moderately lower balance in their investment portfolio. And you got a lot of people on a fixed income, and now you're having inflation. They're also the ones, and they help so many families are now helping their children and everything like that. So it really is going to be hurting the senior citizens of this country. Basically, it's the senior citizens that really are running. It is the economy, I think. Who has the most money in this country? Senior citizens. You know, and it's all based on their investment portfolio. So if that crashes, you know, all of a sudden they're used to living on a 5,000 fixed income monthly, and now it goes to 1,500. And so it's not going to be pleasant. And then we forget that, you know, all of this comes back to we've got debt too great to be paid. And we have all of the, I mean, with these higher rates, debt can't be serviced. It's harder and harder to service the debt. So it's an ugly picture. I don't see any way they're going to get out of it. Again, they're going to have to lower rates and go back into that easy monetary stance. That's the only thing that helps them and the economy. And then what happens? It's not going to help the inflation. We know government likes inflation. They need inflation. And they need that stronger dollar right now. But I don't know how long, Dave, they can continue until it, you know, I mean, everything's being absorbed now, but there's going to be a day when it can't. They sign things. They don't talk about it. They sign the resolutions to keep the government funding for how much longer. Did you hear any reports on that? Heck no. That's all secret stuff. They don't want you to know about it. You know, and all that has to be addressed. But so I don't know, Dave. You know, we continue to see, you know, people go back to 2008. Oh, I hear the music. Can't be.
It's true.
Yeah. It's time for a break. We'll be right back. I get a check on Friday, but it's already spent. Working for a living. Working for a living. Cause I'm working for a living. Oh, oh, oh.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby all the night.
Mercy. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That is such a nice, mellow song just to kind of, you know, keep us going through the day and relax and head into our second segment and give out our telephone number, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. We don't want to put you to sleep now. 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. And we have interest rates going up all over the world. You know, we know that the Bank of England raised their key interest rate today. The EU raised their rates last week, I believe. So all of these countries are raising their rates, although in Turkey they're going down, but their inflation rate is probably 80% or something. I don't know if it's that high, but it's up there.
Oh, it's there. It's over 80%.
Is it over 80%?
Yeah.
Can't to keep a track. But they're expecting inflation in the UK to be about 9%. I guess it's currently around 9%, to peak at 11% in October. So I don't know, Dave. It's just not our nation that is experiencing this problem. It's everywhere. Because you've had all this money being pumped into all of these markets, it's no different, Dave.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In Turkey, they're sort of running against the flow. And President Erdogan a big foe of interest rates. And of course, Turkey's central bank, which I think is called the Central Bank of the Kingdom of Turkey, is full of people who like nodding their heads to whatever the president desires. They had another 100 basis point cut today, and that brought their key 1 week repurchase rate from 13% to 12%. It's still 12%. Can you imagine? That's on top of another full 100 basis points last month. Another rate cut. It's crazy what's going on over there. I mean, they clearly expect disinflation. We call it deflation. They call it disinflation to begin. But however you pronounce it or define it, it's easier said than done. As we say on this program all of the time, inflation is ever present and is here to stay. You can argue about the rate of that inflation and the effects of lower versus high inflation. But don't believe anyone who tells you that inflation is going away, because it never will under our current means of monetary existence. So anyway, the Turkish lira has lost over a quarter of its value to the dollar since January 1st. and 80% over the last 5 years.
Sounds like the U.S. dollar.
Exactly. It is the U.S. dollar.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, it is. 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call, ladies and gentlemen. Yesterday, you had the sales of existing homes. That fell again. Seventh straight month in August. And again, these higher mortgage rates are slamming the brakes on much of the buying activity. The National Association of Realtors showed yesterday existing home sales slipped to an annualized rate of $4.8 million last month. Now, that's roughly 20% lower than last year's breakneck pace in August of 2021. So 20%. Prices finally have started to drop in the past couple of months. Now you have the median existing home selling for $389,000. That's still a tremendous amount of money, but it's down 6% from the peak back in June, just in June. And that was, what, $413,000. And even Jerome Powell, he did acknowledge at the conference yesterday that, hey, home buying has slowed. What do they pay these guys? And, you know, sometimes it just, you know, no kidding, Sherlock, you know. And, and then he also added that he thinks the housing market needs to experience a correction. Okay. It's really sad. But we certainly have seen home prices. I think they're going to continue to fall in the coming months. And we'll just see what happens. The 30-year fixed mortgage rate's now higher than 6%.
6.29.
And I don't think nothing's going to keep them from going down. They're just going to continue to rise until those house prices get to a point where people can afford them at the higher rates. So a long way to go in this housing market. Even in where I live, you're beginning to see homes on the market. People didn't even put up for sale signs because they sold that fast. Now you're beginning to see sale signs up for weeks, months. So it is definitely having a big impact. And and people are already justifying the drops in prices. I had a conversation with someone at the post office, and they told me they bought, and they says, we talked about it, and we expect if our price is lower than what we bought it for, that we're going to be okay. So they're already justifying that they're going to be overbought. But there's a lot of people that are going to be so underwater that they'll never be able to sell their homes, and they'll have to sell it, you know. But we all know that story because it's a cycle that happens all the time. And I don't know, yesterday you had all the too big to fail CEOs. And again, you brought up all these things to aggravate me today, Dave.
That's this program's all about.
No, I believe so. The House Financial Services Committee yesterday had all the CEOs there to testify before them. All the too big to fail banks, Congressman Al Green, who asked the seven CEOs to raise their hands. And I mean, this is ridiculous, though. What does color have anything to do with what these banks have done? Because they are part of our problem. Go back in history. It's always the banks that create the large part, if not all, of a country's problems. And then you can include the central banks when they were added to various countries and ours. They're the ones that create the problems. They're the ones who really steal from you. And they continue to, they control things. They control everything. So, like, I just don't get it. Why that even has an issue when you have, when you should have these people in D.C. destroying these CEOs of these banks. And so anyway, well, like Jamie Dimon. You know, hey, Jamie Dimon.
Five-time felon, or the CEO of a five-time felon.
Yeah, so, you know, anyway. It's
well, I'm thankful there are people who are calling them to task.
But it's the wrong tasks that they're calling them on, is my view.
I disagree with that. But, I mean, it's one of a number. If it were the only thing they were calling them to task for, then, yeah, I'd say, look, this is an important issue, but they're a lot more. I mean, talk about the cost of a college education, how too big to fail banks have been part of the effort over the years to send a generation, multi-generations of students to college when so many of them didn't need to be there, incurring debt of $50,000, $75,000,
$100,000. Yeah, but the government approved those loans too.
Well, I'm not saying it.
And I agree with you. Look at the tuition at these colleges. Why are the tuitions as high as they are? But the bottom line is taxpayers shouldn't be paying for these kids' education.
Well, my point, yes.
I don't want to pay for somebody else's education. But they're all in it together. Right?
Yeah, there's a real ugly triangle of I'm not sure what the word is, but you know, there are lots of ties, and the one I think the one that bugs me the most is just, besides the revolving door, the perpetual revolving door of banking and other finance officials, Wall Street officials, making their $10 million a year in the private sector, then going to work for an administration for 1 to 4 years, and then going back to either their old jobs or something even more lucrative on the other side of the table. And plus the campaign financing that buys these votes, not only does it buy votes, it buys decisions that prevent certain votes from ever coming to the fore. And oftentimes that's just as bad, if not worse. I was amused, even though I am no fan of Dimon at all. One committee member asked Dimon during the testimony yesterday. They're getting grilled again today, by the way. But she asked Dimon whether J.P. Morgan had a policy against funding new oil and gas development in order to combat climate change. And Dimon replied, absolutely not. That would be the road to hell for America. I mean, it's things are pretty out of hand in Washington, ladies and gentlemen. So when you see opinion polls where they are today, I mean, you certainly can't be surprised at the amount of division in our country. I just hope we get back to, I mean, I think that division in how we ought to do certain things will always be there. I just hope we get back to a point where we can talk civilly and more sensibly toward one another and have a little respect for the other's viewpoints.
Well, you're more of a optimistic looking into the future, but I can't see it because there's just too much. I think it's gone past the stage of, you know, it's just, you know, sometimes when you can have a really good friend and You know, and then you can have an argument or you upset something, and you just never go back.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to go back. I'm just saying I wish it would.
Yeah.
Maybe something, that in and of itself is
there has to be the only thing that brings optimism. People. The only thing that brings people together is if there's something that happens that to where they can bond. If they can, I don't even think 9/11 would do it. I think it even has to be something a little bit more major than that. I mean, it's going to have to be a true catastrophic event. And as long as neither side starts it or gets blamed for it, it would. So therefore, it would have to be an outside source that creates the catastrophic event. That would be the only way.
It sounds like an asteroid crashing into the Earth and not being prepared for it. I'll actually talk about that in the third segment today. Stick around for that fascinating segment.
Well, there was always, I can't remember which asteroid that was. It was supposed to have crashed way back early 2000s or something like that. I can't remember. I think it was called the Worm or something like that. So I don't know if it's the same one that you're talking about. But
No.
Okay, so let's see. Well, we talked about the housing and the rates going up, and I don't know, you know, I'm not sure if this is happening all across the country. I mean, we've seen the rental price of rising, rental prices rising, and massive increases. Housing costs, including the skyrocketing rent prices. The median rental price fell last month for the first time since November of 2021. It dropped a whole $10. Don't get too excited out there, folks. Meaning,
she had me on the edge of my chair.
Did you have to develop?
What a letdown.
Meanwhile, there's a couple of other data sets seem to confirm that at least for a month, rent increases weren't so painful. Median rents for single-family homes also fell slightly over the past 3 weeks. You know, Dave?
Melody?
Yes?
Minute to go on our second segment.
Okay.
And we've yet to talk about weekly jobless claims.
Oh, come on. You didn't want to talk about Manhattan's prices that are falling? I mean, I do think it's good that these rental prices are falling, but it's amazing again, it's so unaffordable. We need decent, affordable housing in this country, and I've been saying that for 30 years.
Let's hope it continues.
Yes.
I don't think it will.
No. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
All right, I'll do my best. I hope we haven't been letting you down today. It's the third segment of Financial Survival. Welcome back. Sponsored by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Dave Allen. Melody taking care of other business. This final segment, she's at 1-800-375-4188. Now, like most Americans, I missed Jay Powell's Fed press conference yesterday. I know, hard to believe, I just had better things to do. But like Bloomberg's Joe Wiesenthal, one benefit of having missed it is getting to read the transcript after the fact with a fresh set of eyes, and not necessarily influenced by what everyone's saying about it, interactively in real time. Anyway, reading through small portions of the transcript this morning, there were a couple of things that stand out to me anyway. Each one of them deal with the significance of the labor market tightness relating to the Fed's thinking. As Wiesenthal himself points out, first from Powell's introductory remarks, where he noted there are clear signs of rate hikes having a slowing effect on the economy, on the job market in particular, that the labor market strength or tightness has remained stubborn. Here's Powell in his own words, quote, "Activity in the housing sector has weakened significantly in large part, reflecting higher mortgage rates. Higher interest rates and slower output growth also appear to be weighing on business fixed investment, with demand for workers substantially exceeding the supply of available workers. The labor force participation rate showed a welcome uptick in August, but has little changed since the beginning of the year." Now, next is where young'uns might say that Powell said the quiet part out loud. Quote, "You know," he said, "we're never going to say that there are too many people working. But the real point is this. Inflation, what we hear from people when we meet with them, is that they really are suffering from inflation." I'd like to hear that ride on the subway, although I think most of them take rides in the limo. And if we want to set ourselves up really, really like the way to another period of a very strong labor market, we've got to have inflation behind us. And last, responding to a question from a reporter about how long Americans should be expected to feel pain, Powell said it all starts with wages. Quote, "How long? It really depends on how long it takes for wages, and more than that, prices to come down, for inflation to come down." So it's always been the case that monetary policy mainly works by cooling demand, consumer demand, business demand, which means a trend of lower wages and fewer jobs. But now the Fed's making it crystal clear that the path to fighting inflation starts by hurting labor. And that's going to cause some very interesting dynamics in contract negotiations, in family Thanksgiving dinners, and what have you. Wiesenthal himself says that if somehow inflation cools on its own, good luck with that, without a significant rise in the unemployment rate to boot, yes, that would be incredibly lucky. But I don't think that's in the cards. Now, next, look, now's not the time to liquidate your positions, as particularly your core gold positions as the Fed has been clear that this economic pain is coming. Now, this is according to more than one market strategist. In a recent interview with Kitco News, gold milling gold, that's a Freudian slip. George Milling Stanley, who's a chief gold strategist at State Street Global Advisors, another too big to fail, said that gold prices should continue to struggle in the short term as three components of the economy show resilient strength, even as the Fed maintains its growing aggressive QT. Solid gains in the dollar is one of them, trading near its highest level in more than two decades. Melody said over 111, for God's sake. The other is relatively healthy consumer demand and relative strength in equity markets, which may be a surprise, but it's one of the three forces the gold market currently faces that Milling Stanley says are keeping a lid on gold prices. He also said right now the precious metal markets isn't in charge. Until we see these conditions change, the three I just mentioned, gold's prospects are going to remain somewhat limited. Now, although equity markets have been in a solid downtrend for most of the year, with the S&P of bear market territory down 21%, Milling Stanley said that the sell-off there has been mild compared to the rally we've seen over the past 13 years since the Great Recession. And that's the perspective, I think, to keep in mind. Equity markets have been rallying on cheap money since 2008, he said, and free money since 2018. And they're down for sure. But they have further to go if Powell wants to get inflation back to 2%. He also said Powell will keep raising rates until the stock market comes down further. It could take a few months, in fact, before investors start to feel the real pain of higher interest rates. Although investment demand has been tame through most of this year, Milling Stanley said the impending economic slowdown from these rising rates is the reason why investors should all hold on to their gold. Inflation is still worryingly high, he says, and Powell's made it very clear that he's going to have to cause pain to the economy to bring it down. We face a lot of macroeconomic and geopolitical uncertainty in this environment, and he says, I certainly would not be selling my safe haven assets. In fact, at current prices, he added, I would be looking to add to my core position, which is something, he says, I think we are starting to see. Milling Stanley added that the threat of an economic slowdown and possible recession is one of the reasons gold's been able to hold critical long-term support at around $1,675. And while gold prices may struggle to push higher toward the end of the year, Milling Stanley said he doesn't expect gold to fall much lower. He added the sell-off in gold we've seen from the weaker hand of speculators who thought gold was going to move back up through $2,000. And we have shaken a lot of those weaker hands out and are left with investors who are holding on to core strategic allocations, and those, he believes, aren't going anywhere. But, I mean, he admits the world's still a very uncertain place, and that is exactly when you want to have exposure to gold. Including yesterday's hike of another 75 basis points, the Fed signaled that its Fed fund rate is expected to peak at around 4.6% next year. Over at Milling Stanley said he's not paying much attention at all to the latest projections. He also doesn't think the Fed has reached its peak hawkishness and interest rates will continue to rise until inflation is under control. In short, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a gold investor, hold on to it. Buy more. Call us at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver needs. Now, I don't know if you've been following this fascinating story. Mentioned it briefly in the last segment. In the first of its kind, Save the World experiment, NASA's on the verge of smashing a small, harmless asteroid's asteroid millions of miles away. A spacecraft named DART will zero in on the asteroid next Monday, intent on slamming it head-on at 14,000 miles per hour. The impact, NASA says, should be just enough to nudge the asteroid into a slightly tighter orbit around its companion space rock, demonstrating that if a killer asteroid should ever head our way, we'd stand a fighting chance of diverting it. Cameras and telescopes, thankfully, will watch the crash, but it's going to take months to find out if it actually changed its orbit. The $325 million planetary defense test began with DART's launch last fall. The asteroid with the bullseye on it is called Dimorphos, about 7 million miles from Earth. It's actually a puny sidekick of a 2,500-foot asteroid named Didymos. It's Greek for twin. Discovered in 1996, Didymos is spinning so fast that scientists believe it actually flung off material that eventually formed a small moon. Dimorphos, which is roughly 525 feet across, orbits its parent body at a distance of less than a mile. According to Nancy Chabot, a planetary scientist and mission team leader at Johns Hopkins University, which is managing the effort, quote, this is really about asteroid deflection, not disruption. This isn't going to blow up the asteroid. It isn't going to put it into lots of pieces. Rather, the impact will dig out a crater tens of yards in size and hurl 2 million pounds of rocks and dirt into space. NASA insists there's a zero chance either asteroid will threaten Earth now or in the future. That's why this particular pair was picked. Well, anyway, managers are confident that DART won't smash into the larger Didymos by mistake. The spacecraft's navigation is designed to distinguish between the two asteroids and, in the final 50 minutes, target the smaller one. Let's hope that happens. They said it's like running a golf cart into a great pyramid. Now, unless DART misses, NASA puts that happening at less than 10%, it will be the end of the road for DART. Interesting, isn't it? Andrea Riley at NASA says that even if DART misses, the experiment will still provide valuable insight. This is why we test. We want to do it now rather when there's an actual need. Boy, how I wish he had said if there was an actual need. But we're mincing words, right? Walmart, the largest private sector employer here, aims to hire 40,000 seasonal workers for the holiday season this year. Whoopee, right? Not so fast. It's a huge decrease from last year's 150,000 jobs. This year's hiring plan signals less need for extra manpower as consumers contend with high inflation. While Walmart's sales are expected to rise in dollar terms during the third and fourth quarters, the gains expected to be powered in part by those higher prices. John Furner, who heads Walmart's U.S. operation, said food inflation is still in the double digits, but there are signs of easing in certain categories. Now, UPS said earlier this month that it would add 100,000 seasonal jobs. That's similar to last year. And Target announced today, in fact, that it, too, plans to hire 100,000 seasonal workers for the holidays. Start its markdowns the first week of October. The company said the new workers will be hired after existing Target workers are given a chance to set their holiday shifts. Target hired the same number of workers last year after hiring 130,000 at the peak of the pandemic. So In its most recent earnings report, Target saw its second quarter profits fall by almost 90% as it slashed prices to attract buyers and said it will begin its Target Deal Day promotion earlier this year, beginning October 6th. The shoppers will be able to take advantage of their price matching program until December 24th. Now, despite the early deals, Target and other retailers may not get a big boost this holiday season. Forecasts for holiday sales this year have been modest, with some estimates predicting growth of just 1% to 3% over 2021 when stripping out the effect of inflation. Other U.S. companies are expected to unveil their seasonal hiring plans in the coming weeks. Well, sure, a lot of people on edge as the coming Christmas holiday shopping season gets closer and closer. I hate to even be bringing it up in mid-December, but hey, that's where we are. And that's all the time we have for today's program. I'll be on vacation next week and we'll be back the first week of October. Melody back tomorrow with Butch. Also be on the lookout for our American Survival newsletter. Tomorrow morning. Thanks as always to our engineer Todd and to you for turning into Financial Survival. I'm Dave Allen. Please have a good evening and be safe out there. Bye-bye.